This is the fourth lesson in a study we've been engaged in regarding the person in Romans 7, and it's the fourth and final lesson that I've put together, and some of you will breathe a sigh of relief, I'm sure, as we terminate with this lesson, a study of the person in Romans chapter 7. And as we've looked at this individual in Romans 7, my objective has been to answer the question, who is this person? Who is he? Who is she? And my answer has been this. He is, she is, a person under conviction by the Holy Spirit of the living God through the Word of God. This is a person who is, in a sense, being squeezed through the narrow gate from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and with some agony. In defending the holiness and the goodness of God's moral law, the Apostle Paul is bringing us this individual in Romans chapter 7. And what I am saying is simply this, that this individual in Romans chapter 7 is not a reprobate person, not a hardened unbeliever who is being passed over by the living God. Neither is this person a confirmed self-conscious believer. This person is a person under conviction and differs from the reprobate hardened sinner. And this person also differs from the self-conscious believer. There is some light in the life of this individual. There is enough light in the life of this individual to cause conflict. But there is not enough light in the life of this individual to bring peace. And that's what Romans chapter 7, verse 23 is really all about. I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. There's a war going on in this individual. Warfare, conflict, and the terminology which the Apostle Paul uses indicates that there is armed conflict going on within this individual. Who are the two parties engaged in war within this individual? Well, if you look at verse 23, we see the first party to this war is the law of my mind, Paul says. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. This is really the law which is in my mind. That would be a more literal way to translate what Paul has to say. And this corresponds to what we talked about in verse 22. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. The law in my mind is the law of God in the inner man. The inner man is the invisible part of an individual. The invisible part of an individual which can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. And when Paul says, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, what Paul is saying is simply this. I am seeing for the first time what the law of God is really all about. Verse 7 really explains it. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Well, Paul knew what the commandments said. He grew up on the Ten Commandments. He was a Hebrew after the Hebrews. He knew what the Ten Commandments really were. But suddenly, because he was coming to conviction, he understood for the first time the real meaning of that commandment. And so he talks about the law in my mind. The law of God coming to life within me. That's one of the members of this war that's going on. Now, who is the antagonist in this war. Well, look at verse 23 again. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. He says there is a different law in the members of my body. Now, this is not the law of God. This is a different law. This is a different law, he says. It is the law spoken of in verse 21. I find then the principle or the law that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. You see, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 is continually telling us that there is a sin problem present. That whenever I want to do good, there is this other principle, this other law within me, that sin leaps forward when I want to do good. That's causing me all sorts of grief, Paul says. This is what fallen human nature is all about. The problem is sin. Look at verse 17. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. You know, sometimes people want to excuse themselves and they look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 17 and they say, hey, this is great. You know, I'm no longer responsible. The problem is sin dwelling within me. Well, that's not what Paul's saying here. Paul is not attempting to evade responsibility. Paul is saying that sin has control. That's the real problem. Verse 20 tells us the same thing. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish to do, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Sin has the control of my life, Paul is saying. And that's the root problem. Hence, there is a war going on. The law of sin, Paul says, attacks the law of God in my mind. And there is this struggle going on within me. When I want to do good, what happens? Oh, it's terrible, he says. When I want to follow God, oh, I'm in trouble. Sin is present. Sin raises its ugly head and it begins to fight back. And the outcome of this battle is defeat. Look at verse 23 again. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. You know, this is not a good message here. I'm taken captive by the law of sin, Paul says. I'm a prisoner. I'm in bondage. Paul has already said this in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into bondage to sin. Paul says, I'm in trouble. Because I am in a conflict which leads perpetually to defeat. This is the tendency. Look again at the text. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Paul is talking about a present activity, making me a prisoner. Present tense. The conflict continually leads to defeat. Making me a prisoner. The NIV says that too. Bringing me into captivity. That's what the King James Version says. And you know what the picture is? Of course, Paul is writing to the Romans. And the Romans always had this picture of the Roman legions coming back and following them were the victims of their captivity. Enslaved, walking with the armies. That's the picture that's given here. And so the prevailing force, and I want you to get this, folks, the prevailing force in the life of the individual about whom Paul is speaking here, the prevailing force in this life is toward sin and defeat. Oh yeah, there may be some victories, but there are more defeats. And the prevailing tendency is toward defeat. Is this what the Christian life is all about? Defeat after defeat after defeat? No, it's not. This is not the Christian life that we're talking about. And all you have to do is look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and you see that very clearly. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Are you a Christian? Here's the message for you. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin. Do you hear that message? That's the message of the gospel. You have been set free from the law of sin. The person in Romans 7 is captive to the law of sin. Again, verse 23. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. That's the person in Romans 7. The believer in Jesus Christ has something different. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Dear friends in the Lord Jesus Christ, the rule and the reign of sin over your life has been broken by Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And it is a glorious gospel. It is a glorious message. The person in Romans 7, therefore, is not a Christian who is in struggle and who time after time falls in defeat. Secondly, I want you to see something about the tendency of things in the life of the Christian. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 just a little bit ago. If you'd go back there and look at verse 5, the Apostle Paul uses the very same word in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that he uses in Romans 7:23 when he talks about captivity. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 10:5 it says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." This is the Christian life. Paul says very explicitly, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We are not being brought into captivity to the law of sin. The law of sin over our lives as Christians has been broken. And one of our problems is that we don't believe that message of the gospel. You see, what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians 10 is simply the reverse of what he is saying in Romans 7:23. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And slowly but surely, as the Lord Jesus Christ permeates your heart and life, your thought life, thought by thought, is being brought into captivity to Jesus. And that also is a continuous activity. Praise the Lord that that's the case. And it's going to continue if you are really a believer. And so, the thing that I believe we need to understand, once again, is the fact that this individual in Romans chapter 7 is not a believer. Because this individual in Romans chapter 7 is facing defeat. Whereas the Christian is facing victory. Now I want to make a distinguish between what I'm saying and what some would call the victorious Christian life. Because Christians do experience struggle. There's no question about it. But the difference between the Christian and the individual in Romans chapter 7 is simply this. The individual in Romans chapter 7 is facing defeat. The individual who is a Christian is facing victory. Yes, there will be some defeats. Yes, you will fail. Yes, you will stumble and fall. But greater is He who is in you than greater is He who is in the world. The reign and rule of sin over your life has been broken, and so you face victory in the end. And you are slowly but surely seeing that victory come to pass as every thought in your being is being brought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord that that's the case. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 7 and look at the other side of the coin here for a moment. Perhaps the person in Romans 7 is not a believer. But it has to be acknowledged that some spiritual light is dawning upon this life. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Paul is able to say, I'm beginning to see some things about myself. I'm beginning to see some new things about myself. He says, I see a different law. I see something different. And I'm able to make some comparisons now. He says, I joyfully, in verse 22, I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. You know, this is really amazing. Because it has to be said that the reprobate, hardened believer does not joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. It takes some light from the Holy Spirit in order to do that. And this is what's happening in this person's life. And so some light is beginning to dawn here. And while this person is not a believer, this person begins to see his or her own sinfulness. And that's awfully significant. I see in my members, Paul says, that there is a war. And the only way that that war can begin to exist is when there is some light from the Spirit of the living God. And so I submit to you that this person is also not a reprobate individual who is being passed over by God, but that this individual is a person who is being brought under deep conviction by the Holy Spirit. And there is growing conviction in the life of this individual. Look at verse 18, for example. Paul says, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. And that's a kind of knowledge that comes through observation, like when you conduct an experiment. He says, I'm beginning to see some things I know through observation. And then in verse 21, he says, I find then the principle that evil is present in me. He says, because of the observations I've made, I'm beginning to conclude, as a result of these observations, that I've got a real problem. And in verse 23, he says, I see it now, and there's a war going on in me. And what does this growing conviction lead to? It leads to verse 24, where Paul says, wretched man that I am. That conviction leads to a wretchedness. And that wretchedness needs to come if a person is really going to enjoy the gospel. That's where verse 25 comes in. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who releases us from this warfare, which leads to defeat. Only Jesus Christ. Well, let's begin to wrap this up a little bit. Let me emphasize one of my primary points here. As a Christian, you are not a Romans 7 person. That's one of my main points. And so my plea is simply this. Do not use Romans chapter 7 as an excuse to live in sin. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Anger is a sin. The Bible says the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And years ago, when our oldest daughter was just a tot, and I remember this quite clearly, I'm sure Irma will remember it when I refresh her memory. I remember quite clearly in our home in Dallas, Texas, being angry. I don't remember what the cause of the anger was, but I remember being angry. And I remember a painting that I had done in seminary. It was a oil painting, a map of Palestine. I wish I still had that map. But I was angry, and I took that map off the wall, and I began to smash it against the wall. And I smashed that thing against the wall. And I remember Irma grabbing our oldest daughter and huddling away from me with her. I was angry. That's sin. And the problem that we face when we come to Romans 7 is simply this. Oh yeah, well, I've got a problem with anger, but Paul says, you know, sometimes that's the way it is. When I want to do good, I find that there's present within me this force and I'm not able to do it. So that's the Christian life and that's the way it goes. And so we live with that sin in our lives. No. Romans 7 is not the Christian. And we ought not to use Romans 7 as an excuse to continue in sin. Let me give you another example of this sort of thing. Irma's father, as you may know, was years ago an elder in the church. And when there was a division in the congregation, he fought might and main to hold the church together. And he was unsuccessful. And I don't know if he blamed himself for that or not. But I do know that years later, he would not come to the communion table because of that. Sometimes we can hang on to those old sins and divisions. And we go back to Romans chapter 7 and we say, well, that's just the way it was with Paul. And we excuse ourselves. No, my friends, Romans chapter 7, it seems to me, is not the Christian. And we ought not to use Romans chapter 7, therefore, as an excuse to abide in what we know is wrong. But we ought to break forth from that sin. What is the sin in your life? You call it a besetting sin. If you are a Christian, the rule and the reign of sin over your life is broken, and you are able by the grace of God to walk away from it. That's the gospel. And it's a good message for each of us. But now let me shift gears a little bit. Perhaps you are a person who is under conviction, as this individual in Romans chapter 7 is under conviction, and you know it. There is a war going on. And you know you're defeated because you can't do what you know is right. The answer is right there. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. You need to turn to Jesus Christ and you need to say to Him, cure this awful, wretched warfare that's in me and make me a new person. Turn to Christ. That's the answer. Let me give you one final application to this lesson in Romans chapter 7. It seems to me that Romans chapter 7 gives us a profound lesson in discernment. That is, as we review Romans chapter 7 and understand that this person is a person under conviction, we ought to gain some discernment so that when we see this person who is under conviction, and they say to us, you know, I've got a real problem. Nothing I do turns out right. I can't do right, it seems. You know, our usual posture in that circumstance is to try and talk them out of their negative attitude. Perhaps the better way to go would be to take that individual to Romans chapter 7 and say, you know, that's exactly the struggle the Apostle Paul went through. And here's the answer. Jesus Christ. I think one of our problems today is simply the fact that we don't have the discernment we need to see people who are really under conviction so that we can give them the gospel as they need it. And Romans chapter 7 leads us in that direction. And so I want to encourage you to look at Romans 7 as this person under conviction. And when you see the person who is really struggling, take them into that chapter and show them the answer to the struggle, which is Jesus Christ. And it will be a good thing for them as it will be a good thing for you.